The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." In the church year, the holidays stand out. Everybody knows Christmas and Easter and everything that accompanies those in our services here in church. But during the regular year, there are a few Sundays that stand out as well. Everybody knows that Pentecost is when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we have the reading of that, and there's the color red that sticks out in our mind. Everybody knows it is not Reformation Sunday unless you are singing "A Mighty Fortress" in your Lutheran church. Well, Trinity Sunday is no different. It stands out, but not so much for the readings and the hymns, but because of the creed. On this Sunday, we confess the Athanasian Creed, one of the three ecumenical creeds, they are called, that we subscribe to as Lutherans. During the Reformation, we made a point of saying, yes, we subscribe to this creed because we are Christian. We are Catholic, that is to say, universal in our faith, that we do not invent a new religion going off inventing new ideas about God, but we hold to the doctrine as has been handed down to us from the church over the centuries. And we confess that creed on Sunday to remind, on Trinity Sunday, to remind ourselves of this fact that we worship one God in three persons. We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. And I have a shiny nickel for anybody that can come up here and recite for the whole congregation that creed from memory. I thought about offering the confirmation students 5 free skips if they could do that, but I was worried one of them might take me up on it. The creed is long, isn't it? Of course, it adds another couple minutes to the Sunday on the day that we read it. And it is kind of confusing, but it's really not meant to be confusing, or rather, it's meant to take something that is confusing, how can God be one God in three persons, and to make it as clarifying as it possibly can in our language. It is involved, it is verbose, and yes, you have to really be paying attention to read these unfamiliar lines, because you only say it once a year, in unity with a bunch of other people trying to do the same thing. Yes, it is involved, but this creed, in our confessing and remembering it, is something that is very necessary. We all know that there are lots of things that somebody can be wrong about in life. Matters of preference, of course, who cares what one person prefers and another one does? Even matters of truth, you can sometimes be wrong and you can recover pretty easily. It's still kind of tax season, so the example I think of is if you're wrong on your taxes, well, you will get that letter from the IRS, and you can rectify the situation in about 5 minutes, pulling out your checkbook, or in about 5 days of holding time on the telephone. But you can rectify it even if you are wrong and be okay the next day. You can be wrong about a lot of things and be okay, but not with God. When it comes to who God is, when it comes to religion, when it comes to wanting to worship the actual God that exists, it does not pay out well for a person to be wrong. You see, the Bible is so very clear. God is exclusive. God is judgmental. He judges. God is a jealous God. These words all kind of have, and the other ones that go with them, a negative connotation in our day and age, don't they? They have sort of a very narrow definition, and nothing as positive is ever ascribed to them. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible uses these words to talk about God, and it is true. He is what he is. Remember, when the devil tries to tempt Jesus to bow down and worship him when he's out in the wilderness, he responds with the passage from Deuteronomy. He says, "You shall worship the Lord of God alone, and him only shall you serve." Exclusivity, no other gods. And John, of course, in his first epistle, writes, "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father." It's impossible to have the true God unless you have Jesus Christ, his Son, by faith. No, the Bible testifies so ever clearly throughout the entire book and collection of books that it is who God is and who he is not. And there is no room for doubt, no room for vagueness, no room for uncertainty. God is the Holy Trinity, and the Holy Trinity alone is God. And it is folly to reject this. It's folly to say no to that or to try and sit on the fence when it comes to this, but it does not stop many from trying to do so, either today or in the previous generations. Some people, through vanity of themselves, they want to make themselves out to be more tolerant than God, drawing a wider circle. Well, you don't have to be a Christian explicitly to have fellowship with God, to be going to heaven when you die. Well, maybe just God takes your confession of faith, whether it be Judaism, Islam, or some other thing, and he reinterprets it into the right answer when the time comes down to it, trying, they do, to draw a wider circle than God has drawn himself. Other people, through sloppiness, through laziness, or whatever, they try and just gloss over who God is. Talk about God for them, and that's as far as it goes. They will say God. Well, you start to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, they get kind of uneasy because that's rather specific, isn't it? That's rather also exclusive. And we don't want people to feel uncomfortable. Let's just be glad that somebody believes that there is a deity instead of evolution or something that we just happened all by chance. And they are content to speak and believe in a generic deity. But dear friends, who can change God? Who can say to God, who has said of himself to us, "I am this, this is who I am," who can say to him, "No, you're not"? Or who can say to him, "I'm going to pretend I didn't hear you, and I am going to speak of you in a different way than how you have revealed yourself"? Of course, we know such a thing is a foolish thing to do, and it is a foolish thing to follow people that speak such ways. You see, as Christians, and today is a particularly appropriate day to consider this, as Christians, we have one task, and that is to seek, that is to learn, to confess and defend the truth. Who is God? What has he done? That's what we want to know, that's what we want to be all about, and that's what we want to commonly confess and spread to other people, not our own ideas. God is precisely who he has said he is. God is precisely who he has revealed himself in his word to be, not anything else. He is not merely a great architect of the universe. That's not God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the creator of the world. He is the redeemer of the world through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is the sanctifier of his church. He is one in three, and it needs to be said, I've never heard a problem of this at Calvary, but in the culture it's a big problem. He is also he. Let's use the pronouns that God has used for himself, okay? Pronouns he slash him. That's a big thing now. If you've never heard of that, just ignore it, and I pray you never come into contact with these people. Now, God has revealed himself in this way. Let us be glad to confess himself in the same way. And God also is this, unchangeable, all-powerful, merciful, gracious, and good. That is who our God is, not just God in general. That is who the Christian God, the Holy Trinity, the one true God is, and we do well to confess it and to believe it. If anybody in this room or anywhere in this world would have forgiveness, life, and salvation, let him come to this God explicitly, exclusively, and confess his sins and receive the promised forgiveness that this God has won and promised to us. Other confessions about God, no matter how much popularity or support they do have, they will fade and go away because they are about as fickle as the wind which blows in the air. But our God will remain forever because our God is true. Our God has shown himself to be true. He has shown himself faithful. And anybody who worships him in spirit and truth, anybody who is born again, as our Lord taught us in the gospel lesson, anybody who clings on to that God through Jesus Christ will have not just temporal blessings, but everlasting blessings as he inherits eternal life. God, grant us this confession now in this our life and up to our life's ends so that we may enjoy him forever as he would be. To him be all glory now and forever. Amen.